Good morning and welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich, and it's a celebration of all things Ohio. Ohio products, its people, and their accomplishments are on display for 12 days every summer at the Ohio Expo Center for the Ohio State Fair. The fair begins Wednesday, July 28th, just 4 days away, and today we are going to discuss the ins and outs of making this very large event a reality. Joining me in the studio is Marketing and Public Relations Director for the Ohio State Fair, Christina Leeds.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
And later in the hour, we're going to talk about how student involvement continues to thrive during this 12-day celebration, and we will have 4-H and Junior Fair Board member Natalie Hall and 4-H and FFA member Christopher Knott. But first, let's run through the logistics of the fair. So this year, it's the 157th fair, I believe.
That's right. A lot of tradition and history with the Ohio State Fair. So this will be our 157th edition. We open up next Wednesday, July 28th, and we'll run for 12 days through Sunday, August 8th.
And the 12-day, instead of it being 17 days, that's a little bit more recent. In the past few years, you've decided to make it 12 days, right?
That's right. We've been running the 12-day format since 2004, so a great improvement for the Ohio State Fair. We're happy to have everything condensed into the 12-day format and offer the same fair experience for everybody here.
And the hours, so it opens on Wednesday the 28th, it opens at 9 a.m.?
That's right. Admission gates are open at 9 a.m. on opening day. We do have an opening ceremony at the main entrance gate. It'll take about 20 minutes, and that'll start promptly at 9 a.m.
Okay. And this year's theme is Fairtastic?
That's right. It's Fairtastic. And what that is basically everybody has their own interpretation of what they love about the fair. You're going to hear from two other individuals, and each of them have very specific experiences. And so just kind of incorporating that everybody has a different experience and everybody has a different love for the Ohio State Fair.
So do you pick a different theme every year?
That's right. Last year we went with Share the Fair, and this year we're going with It's Fairtastic.
So how do you make decisions about the fair? There's a board of directors, or is there a board of just people who are interested?
We have a commission. It has 13 members. 9 of them are appointed by the governor and 4 are ex officio members. They meet on about a monthly basis and go over overall staff decisions and make overall programming and other decisions. We also have a staff of about 65 full-time and part-time permanent employees, and they work year-round to make and get ready for the Ohio State Fair. In addition to the Ohio State Fair, the Expo Center is host to about 125 events year-round, too.
So the employees that you mentioned, so there's some people who are actually just employed by the fair all year round, and then you hire extra people for like the 12 days, right?
That's right. In addition to the 65 permanent staff members that we have, we hire about 600 additional seasonal staff members to help specifically put on the Ohio State Fair. So it takes a lot of people to operate that great event.
And so the board, are they already planning next year? Is that something you start even before this one begins?
Absolutely. You know, we are looking several years in advance, not only for entertainment, but themes, long-range planning. I can tell you that right now when you come to the fair this year, you're going to see a paved parking lot, which is beautiful. But that's something that's been in the works for several years. So there's a lot of planning going on in advance.
So there hasn't been a paved parking lot in the maybe I haven't noticed or paid attention.
No, it's a beautiful paved parking lot now, so everybody's going to be very appreciative of that.
So no more trudging through the gravel.
Right, yep.
Okay. So tell me something about this year's fair that you've had in the works besides, I guess, the paved parking lot, something that you've had in the works that you're just absolutely so excited about new for the fair this year.
You know, one of our new technology initiatives this year is we have a mobile web page that allow people to find fair food on the grounds through their mobile web device or mobile phone. So something that we've been working on for a while and happy to have that come to fruition. So while you're on the ground, all people that are savvy with technology and their phones are going to love that they can find fair food or whatever they're craving at the moment right there on their phone, and it'll direct them to all the 175 food vendors that we have in the ground. So lots of technology initiatives, lots of stuff on grounds. We work year-round planning for events. Entertainment starts almost immediately after the fair is out. So all of that happening on a year-round basis and planning and looking forward to each next year's fair.
So wait, let's talk about that technology for the food a little bit more. So if you are interested in
a deep fried Oreo, for example, and that's what you want to find at the fair. You can just like type it in and it'll tell you where you're standing and where you have to go to find that stand.
That's right. So just lots of stuff like that takes, you know, a lot of planning, a lot of groups involved and looking ahead and seeing what, you know, we do a market research project, and that's one of the things that we're focusing on this year is looking at fairgoers' experience and how we can make that experience better. So we'll sit down after the fair and look at that research and see, okay, what can we do to make the fairgoers' experience better, and sit down as an entire staff and look at how we can, how each person can bring, what they can bring from the department to make that happen.
Very high-tech Ohio State Fair this year. You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich, and you've been listening to Ohio State Fair Marketing and Public Relations Director Christina Leeds. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you have a good fair story or a memory of the Ohio State Fair that you'd like to share? Or do you have a question about this year's fair? 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. 614-292-8513. We'd love to hear your Ohio State Fair stories. Now, I haven't lived in Ohio for a long time. I've been here several years, but one thing that I picked up on, apparently the butter sculpture is a big deal.
The butter sculpture is a huge deal. It's been at the Ohio State Fair since 1903. It's annually introduced the day before the fair, so it's something that's top secret. I don't even know what it is, but it's a big tradition at the Ohio State Fair, and one of those things that when you come, you have to go see it because it's an annual tradition at the Ohio State Fair.
So wait, last year's sculpture, I can't remember what it was now. What was last year's sculpture?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember either.
Didn't it honor veterinarians or no?
Oh, it honored Ohio's dairy farmers. So yes.
So it was a cow, right?
They always have the butter cow and the butter calf. And then in addition to that, they have something else. But last year they did. They honored Ohio's dairy farmers.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, I was reading a list. I mean, you've honored John Glenn was one of them. I mean, you've honored Furby, you know, like random, definitely random things.
Yeah, the Ohio Dairy Association, they do a great job with that display. And, you know, each year they come up with some very creative ideas. So we're very excited to see what they're going to unveil this year.
Okay, so it is top secret, so you really have
secret.
No idea.
I don't have any idea.
I mean, how many people know? Just that's a very few handful of the people actually making it.
That would be up to the Dairy Association. Okay. I'm not exactly sure.
Interesting. So you have a big ceremony. Tell me about the ceremony to unveil this epic butter sculpture.
This year they're hosting it at noon on Tuesday, August 27th. So they invite in some people within the industry, and they do a big unveiling where they have all the glass covered up, and then they'll show that and see what, so everybody can see what it is. So I'm very excited to see what it is this year.
Okay. So that is kind of the unofficial kickoff the day before the fair.
Sure. In addition to that, we have the band that's going to be performing downtown at the State House that day also.
Wait, is that the
Ohio State Fair band. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. We also have lots of pre-fair activities going on at the grounds right now. I know that Christopher's involved with one of them here this weekend, but we have llamas, goats, and horses going on, and those are some pre-fair activities. So lots of buildup going into the grand opening on Wednesday.
So can people go and see pre-fair activities right
Absolutely.
Now? Okay. And the so whenever the big event opens on Wednesday at 9 a.m., do you normally have like a rush of people who are just there and ready to go for the fair to begin?
Sure. With 157 years of tradition, there are lots of people that like to be there for opening day and specifically the opening ceremony. So we do have a lot of people that come just to come in the main entrance gate and see the opening ceremony right when it starts. We also have a great opening day promotion from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. where admission is just $3. So a great promotion to go along with opening ceremony and opening day.
Well, that's probably an important thing to mention. What is the normal admission prices? There's always deals. I mean, you have different deal days. But
Always, we have lots of special days and discounts, so we encourage you to go plan your day at ohiostatefair.com. In addition to that, there's discount tickets available for $6 at Kroger, Ticketmaster, and participating AAA locations, and you can use those on any days. But certainly visit ohiostatefair.com, and you'll find a listing of special days, so that way you can decide what day fits whatever interest you're looking at, whether it's a cheaper or lower admission price, or if you're looking at midway, family value days would be a good day for that. But I encourage you to visit that and figure out what day works best for you.
And your admission price, I mean, that gets you into the fair. Rides cost extra.
That's
right?
Correct. Okay. The admission price gets you into the fair and lets you enjoy all of the buildings and all of the activities and attractions. The concerts and the midway do cost an additional charge.
Okay. And let's talk about attendance a little bit. Last year's attendance in 2009 was a whopping 826,000 people came to the fair. And that was That was up from the five previous years. What do you expect for attendance this year?
You know, we don't make attendance predictions because we are an outdoor event, so a lot of it does depend on the weather. What we really try to focus on is putting on a quality event for fairgoers when they come. As a celebration of Ohio, we really just focus on quality. Certainly, we'd like more people to visit and attend and experience the fair, but knowing that we are an outside event, certainly the weather and the elements do affect attendance.
Has it always been roughly, you know, the beginning of August?
Yeah, it has been. I can tell you when the fair first started out, it was held later on in the fall, but cholera outbreaks forced it to move closer to the summertime. So that's where it's been pretty much ever since then.
Okay, so it stays there now, not because of cholera, but because
right,
of
exactly,
tradition.
Because of tradition, yes.
Okay, so I mean, you have more so the heat to deal with, right? Like the temperatures in the 90s rather than worrying about. Well, I guess you worry about downpours, too, because people wouldn't come out if it was pouring.
Sure. You know, we've been very fortunate the last couple of years to have outstanding weather. But in addition to weather, we always try to encourage people, no matter if it's, you know, rain or shine or hot or cooler weather, you know, we have lots of buildings that are either air conditioned or provide cover. So within the facility itself, there's more than 50 buildings or covered pavilions. So and the fair goes on, rain or shine.
And do you keep track? I mean, I guess you probably don't know how to keep track of this, but do you keep track of people who come? They come from all over the state, right?
They do. People come from all over the state, all over the country, all over the world. We've done lots of market research projects, and people are coming from all over to visit the Ohio State Fair.
Every state doesn't have a fair, right? It's not unique to Ohio. I know there's a Nebraska State Fair, but I come from Pennsylvania, and I don't believe I ever remember hearing about a Pennsylvania State Fair.
You know, I don't know exactly what statistics are on which states mm-hmm. have them and whatnot, but most states do have some type of annual celebration, or even some of them have a couple or their regional celebrations. So
okay, but this one celebrates all things Ohio.
All things Ohio. And, you know, it's certainly a great state fair. I can tell you that lots of our staff members have visited other state fairs, and they're very proud of the exhibition that we put on.
All right. You're listening to All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurovich, and we're talking about the Ohio State Fair on WOSU 820 NPR News. And we want to hear from you, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Call in with a good fair story or a memory. Do you have a question about this year's fair? 614-292-8513. And after this break, we will talk about student involvement with two members of 4-H. This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurovich on WOSU 820, NPR News. Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
Currently, there are no PHEVs or plug-in electric vehicles on the road today.
General Motors plans to start selling the Chevy Volt, a plug-in electric vehicle, later this year. OSU Center for Automotive Research plans to install 6 stations on Kinnear Road in the fall.
Hear the latest in local and national news with Morning Edition on WOSU 89.7 FM.
Support for WOSU comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org. A sustaining membership automatically renews, saving you and WOSU time and money. Give $20, $50, or $100 a month to show your continuous support for WOSU. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurovich, and today we're talking about the Ohio State Fair. 614-292-8513 or allsides@wosu.org to join the conversation. In the studio, we have Christina Leeds, the marketing director for the fair. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you very much for having us. We always love talking about the fair this time of year.
And also joining us now is 4-H member and junior fair board member Natalie Hall. Welcome, Natalie.
Thanks for having me.
And also 4-H H member and FFA member, Christopher Knott. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Natalie, you've been competing in the fair for 12 years, so since you were 8 years old. What makes you want to keep coming back year after year?
I started out in 4-H after my mom and sister, following in their footsteps, and it's just a great tradition, like Christina's been saying, and I just keep coming back for more because there's a lot of great opportunities for kids to get involved with. The projects teach you great life lessons and skills, and I know that without the 4-H program, I definitely wouldn't be the person I am today.
What sort of projects have you displayed at the fair?
Throughout my 12 years, I took a lot of home economics-based projects, such as cooking and sewing. I also took a lot of public speaking and leadership projects that really taught me the fundamentals of how to be a leader and how to, you know, get farther in life.
And I was reading that you put on displays that involve family life, health and safety. Can you describe maybe one of the displays that you've done that you maybe won an award for?
Yes. Through the 4-H program, you take the project and you put together a completed project book as well as a poster board display. And if you're selected at the county level, you go to state fair. And one of the projects that I'm most proud of is definitely my workforce preparation project. In this project, you got to learn about the working world and how you can build your resume and interview skills and things like that. And I went last year to the state fair with this project and ended up winning the Clock Trophy, which is the top award in the state. And I'm very proud of that.
Okay, the Clock Trophy. So that's actually, you've received several Clock Trophies, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So the Clock Trophy, it's just explain, it's a high award for the fair, right?
Yes. After you've been selected at the county level and you go to compete at the state fair, after the day is done and all the participants in the same project have competed, the judges select one member of that class to win the Clock Trophy. And then other than that, you also can win Outstanding of the Days, which go to the top 20% in that project class.
So your involvement in the fair through 4-H has taught me, at least, that 4-H and the Ohio State Fair is more than just agriculture-based. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that.
Right, yeah.
So you're also a junior fair board member. Can you tell me what that involves?
Yes. The Ohio State Fair selects a member of teens that's called the Ohio State Junior Fair Board, and we come from all the different youth organizations, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, FFA, 4-H, Technology, Campfire, and we all come together and we help to run different events. We run the skill-a-thons, we work the concerts at night, and we're just around the fair to help wherever is needed.
So you've been meeting, can you give the leaders of the fair any advice, or what kind of suggestions have you made?
Not really a lot of suggestions. Mm-hmm. We just, go to help them with whatever. They do ask us for some suggestions on mm-hmm. how it can run a little smoother, but all around they do a really great job.
Okay. So you're the people that I've seen running around with like the ribbons, and you'll like pass the ribbons out and make sure people are in the right places at the right time.
Right,
is that
yeah.
what you do?
Yep.
How many people are on the junior fair board?
There's about 20 of us.
Okay.
And we come from all walks of life, and we all have different areas we prefer to work in. We get to do a lot of fun things at the fair. So,
this is your second year on the Junior Fair Board, right?
Correct.
Okay. And it's kind of like a two-year term, right?
Yeah. You're selected and you work for 2 years. And then, so your second year, you're training the first-year members to take over when we're gone.
Okay. Well, I guess I should give in a little background information on you. You are a junior at Wright State University, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what your major is at Wright State?
At Wright State University, I'm majoring in organizational leadership and marketing with a minor in communications.
Okay. And so you mentioned this before already, things you learned at the fair have just really helped you decide kind of what you wanted to major in college.
Definitely, yeah. The projects really have helped me along the way to determine what I don't like to do, what I do like to do, especially the leadership projects have really taught me, that leadership is a great path to pursue.
Okay. And let's bring Christopher Knott into the conversation. You are a 4-H and FFA member, and you are a sophomore in high school in Madison County, right?
Yes, that's right.
What high school do you go to?
Triad High School.
Okay. So I read that you have been showing pigs at the Ohio State Fair, or you've been showing pigs basically since you were 2.5 years old.
Yes, that's right. I started out at my county fair. We have a Pee-wee showmanship class for all the children who are too young to show in 4-H, to get them involved while they're still young. And you're really not supposed to show in it until you're 3 years old, but my parents kind of sneaked me in there when I was 2.5, and I've just loved showing hogs. I've done it ever since then.
Was the pig bigger than you, if you were 2.5?
Yes, it was. It was quite a bit bigger than me. My brothers and sisters have always showed pigs, so I guess, I was always used to it, so I wasn't too scared of it, but still, it was a little frightening experience.
So tell me about why you've been showing at the Ohio State Fair. How many years have you been showing at the Ohio State Fair?
About 6 years now, I believe.
Okay. And what makes you want to keep coming back and keep working with the Ohio State Fair?
Well, ever since I can remember, I've always come to the Ohio State Fair, and I just love the experience. It's just a great time. It's very relaxed, and I just love coming back because you have so much fun, and you get a good chance to meet new people and make new friends that you would never be able to do at county fair.
I know that some people actually like go to the fair and stay there for the entire 12 days. Do you do that?
No.
Because you live close enough that you can.
Yes, it's kind of hard because county fair is going on at the same time. So actually, I have to do a lot of running back and forth. But I'm at the state fair as much as I can be, because I love being there, and the experience is great.
And you exhibit. Do you exhibit more than just pigs or just pigs?
Yes, this year I'll be exhibiting goats at the state fair also.
Okay, so what does it mean to exhibit pigs and goats? You raise them and then what happens?
Yeah, well, you go to a sale and buy them and purchase them, and you just work with them and feed them and take care of them and just get them ready, and then you take them to the fair and show them, and
What makes for a winning pig?
There's a lot of different aspects of a good animal, but just being the right size, the right weight, having the right everything pretty much. You can't have too much of one thing and not enough of something else, just the right balance of everything.
A nice healthy pig, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I guess for what makes for a healthy goat, just the same thing?
Yes, pretty much.
Nice looking?
Yep.
Okay. So you've won several awards. You're quite the champion pork exhibitor. Tell me about some of the awards that you've won. What are you most proud of?
Well, the one that I'm probably the most proud of is last year at the State Fair, I was the outstanding swine market exhibitor. And to me, that's the most important, because it's not just, one division of what you do. It's a combination of your skill-a-thon, your showmanship of, how well you can really show your animal, as well as how well you do with your animal. So it's a combination. It really shows the how much work and how important it is to you.
And was this just, if you won an outstanding market exhibitor for swine, is it just one pig or like a group of pigs?
Well, they only take a score from one pig, but they also take, the scores from your showmanship class, how well you do, and your skill-a-thon and everything also.
Okay, so your background, is your family, you come from a family of farmers?
Yes, we've raised show pigs for as long as I can remember. We have a sale now. It's, I think, 3 years now going on, so we're just kind of getting started.
Okay, and what kind of things would you say that you learned from the fair that you're going to – I mean, you're only a sophomore in high school, so I'm not going to make you decide what you're going to be when you grow up, but what are you going to take on with you in the future?
And in the future, I'd like to go into some job that has something to do with agriculture. I guess just from all the animals I've done, it really teaches you responsibility. You have to be consistent with everything you do, and it just teaches you to really grow up and to look ahead to things and not just live in the moment, I guess.
You've also won top exhibitor at the World Pork Expo. That seems like a big deal.
Yes, it is. And it really is a World Pork Expo. I mean, you have people from all over the country and as well as, all over the world. You do have a few other people, and it's, doing anything there is a big accomplishment for me. There's a lot of hogs and a lot of good hogs, and to be able to win something there is just very, very important to me.
Where does the World Pork Expo happen?
It occurs in Des Moines, Iowa, every year.
Okay. So do you learn things from, I'm guessing, your county fair and your Ohio State Fair that you can take to, so you know that you have, if this pig won, at the Ohio State Fair, then that's a good one to try at a bigger competition?
Right. For us, I guess, you have to have different age pigs for different fairs that are, maybe 2 months away, but Yes, I mean, if you win something with, you know, one pig like at the World Pork Expo, then you definitely know you have a good hog and that it would be good to show other places also.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurovich, and this is WOSU 820 NPR News. We're talking with Junior Fair Board member Natalie Hull and 4-H member Christopher Knott. Also with us is Fair Marketing Director Christina Leeds. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Christina, can you tell us a little bit about the focus on the agriculture component of the fair? Because I could see the rides and the entertainment kind of getting away from that historic agriculture base.
Sure. The fair, when it was started, it was really there, and the focus is and always has been agriculture. However, how we're teaching it and who we're educating has changed dramatically. You know, when it first started back in 1850, we were educating agriculturalists about the latest trends in farming, seed production, all that good stuff. And while our focus is still agriculture, it's more shifted to educating the general public about how agriculture affects their daily lives. These two youth are great spokespeople and can tell you a lot about their projects. And that's one of the things that we've, in addition to educating the general public about how agriculture affects their life, we also take a strong role in making sure that we're developing our young leaders such as these two to make sure that they're out there being good spokespeople and making sure that they know how and what they're doing, why they're doing. One of the great features that we have at the Ohio State Fair is the Ohio Farm Bureau's Land and Living, Your Link to Life building, and it really shows people how what happens on the farm influences, you know, what we do in everyday life and teaching you, okay, you know, here's byproducts and here's, you know, different uses for soybeans and all that good stuff and how it really affects everybody's life as we go through. Both of these can tell you that, one of the awards that Christopher has won is really the outstanding exhibitor, and that's to show how well-rounded a youth is in their project. You know, not only have they come to the fair and exhibited a good project and showed it well, but they know how it was raised, what to feed it, how it goes to market, what the byproducts are. So it's really not only about educating the general public, but making sure that we're educating Ohio's youth for tomorrow.
Do you have a lot of people coming and, you know, looking at your animals, asking you questions throughout the fair?
Yes, and I think that's one of the great aspects of it, because the more people who live in the city just have a great opportunity to ask questions and learn about it. You know, where does their meat come from and everything? And I do have a lot of people ask me, and I think it's great that they have the chance to do that.
And are you, Christopher, do you feel like maybe you want to be a junior fair board member someday like Natalie is?
Yes, I think that's a great organization, great opportunity to, you know, really help out with everything and involve everybody and just really teach people about the agricultural side of the fair as well as the other parts.
Okay, so this year at the fair you're exhibiting is like one pig and one goat or something along those lines? Okay.
Yes.
Natalie, what are you exhibiting this year?
This year, I actually aged out of the 4-H program last year, so year I'll just be going to help with the Junior Fair Board.
Okay. So I guess that's another question. So there is a limit to the age. Can you compete from age 2.5 or 3?
Right. The 4-H and the 4-H program offers opportunities for youth 9 to 18. FFA is a high school program. But in addition to those, we also have open show competitions, which are open to any age. And then we also have the creative arts program, which is open to any and all ages. We have a fine arts program. So there's lots of different, in addition to the agricultural component that Christopher's been involved in, you know, what Natalie's been talking about are a lot of the creative arts, the youth organizations. Right when you walk in the main entrance gate, you're going to see the youth center, which is going to feature all of the youth organizations that she represents in the Junior Fair Board. In addition to that, we have a creative arts center, and that has all of your food, cooking opportunities. In addition, you know, it goes into like tablescaping, Trash to Treasure, origami, so lots of different opportunities there. And, of course, then we have the Fine Arts Program, which is open to amateur and professional artists.
There's a lot going on. I was reading about all of the different arts. So you have an entire art building, right?
That's right. We have the Creative Arts Building, which focuses on food, sewing, baking, creative arts. And then we have the Fine Arts Building, which is really focused on the arts.
Would you have to go to the fair every day and to see everything? How can you get it all in one day?
You know, that's something that we do. We do encourage everybody to plan multiple visits to the fair. You know, we have 360 acres at the facility, so it takes a lot of time to cover the grounds. In addition to that, we try to schedule programming so that there is something different going on each day. On any given day when you attend the fair, there's hundreds of competitions, entertainers, attractions going in every day. And a lot of those vary every day that you're there.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org to join the conversation. Do you have a Ohio State Fair memory or a favorite story that you want to tell? Or do you want to ask any of our panelists a question? Maybe you have a question about 4-H or being on the Junior Fair Board. 614-292-8513. And we have Don on the line. Don, what's your question?
And therefore hasn't been in a position to bounce back.
Don, are you there?
When is Veterans Day, and what is the cost?
The Ohio State Fair has different days for particular people.
That's right. We have Veterans and Military Day on Sunday, August 1st, and for veterans and active military with appropriate ID, the admission is free.
So there you go, Don. Are you going to be there?
That's for veterans. You don't have to be on active duty.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Great. We look forward to having you.
I've been there for the last 50 years. So.
50 years of going to the fair. What's your favorite thing to see?
The horses.
The horses? Okay.
You should really consider the 50-year club if you've been going for that long. It's an organization. You have to have attended the fair more than or at least 50 years ago, and it's a group of people that come back every year, and they meet on Monday morning, Monday, August 2nd. So it's a group that you should consider trying out this year.
Yeah, and those llamas. You have them before the fair?
That's right. The llama show is going on at the fair. That started yesterday, and it'll run here for today and maybe tomorrow, I think, too.
Is there a charge to see that?
You'll just have to pay the parking charge, which is $5, so there's no admission charge.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Don.
Uh-huh.
So do you have a lot of people who just have, I mean, the 50-year club, if you have a whole club for it, there's a lot of people who have been coming for a long time.
You know, with such a great tradition at the fair, we do. We have a club specifically dedicated to people that have attended the fair 50 years ago or more, and they come in, they meet every year, and they do a lot of service opportunities for fairgoers.
And we also have Mary on the line. Mary, what's your comment or question?
Yes, hi. You were asking about reminiscing at the fair.
Yes. Do you have a story?
Well, a couple. I mean, like when we were growing up, we were six of us. So we would pile in the station wagon. Mom would pack us a huge lunch dinner. And then we would get to the fair and walk around. Then we'd go all the way back to the car, get our food, and walk it over to the natural resources place and eat. And then we would, of course, take everything back and then just continue on. We ate dinner that way, too. And the other thing, when I was 13, I just got in contact lenses, and the parking lot was a dust bowl. And I wore them too long and got scratched the cornea of my eye.
Oh, dear.
It was terrible, but I still loved every minute of it.
Well, I hope you have happy memories of the fair.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. But, of course, our big thing was to get the ice cream cone.
Of course. And, you know, we encourage everybody, because everybody has a lot of great memories for the fair. If you go to ohiostatefair.com, we have a place where you can fill out a spot on the memory wall with your favorite memories so that everybody can see those.
Great.
Thank you for your call, Mary. I appreciate it.
Sure, uh-huh.
This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News, and we also have ohiostatefair.com linked on our website, wosu.org/allsides. Today we're talking with Junior Fair Board member Natalie Hull, 4-H member Christopher Nott, and Fair Marketing Director Christina Leeds. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org to join the conversation. We'll be right back, and maybe we'll talk about food a little more at the fair when we come back from this break on WOSU 820 NPR News.
We eat burning hot chili peppers, watch horror movies and tragedies, all unpleasant experiences, but we like them anyway. Why is that? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the science of human pleasure. plus the race to reach the South Pole a century ago. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
Today at 2 on WOSU 820, NPR News. See the new lineup of public affairs programming on Friday nights from WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group, and at 9:30 PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup every Friday night beginning at 8 on WOSU-TV.
If you see me get smarter. Jimmy Webb is one of the great songwriters of the 60s and 70s. He's got a new album of duets with some of the great singers he wrote for. This is Webb with Willie Nelson, If You See Me Getting Smaller. We'll hear from Jimmy Webb and listen to more of his music on the next Fresh Air. Join us.
Today at noon on WOSU 820, NPR News.
This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820, NPR News, and I'm Amy Jurevich. Thanks for joining us today for a discussion of the Ohio State Fair, which runs from July 28th through August 8th this year at the Ohio Expo Center. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org to join the conversation. And we have a call from Nancy. Nancy, what's your story you want to tell us?
Well, hello. You've made me decide to go out to the fair. I haven't been on it a few years.
Great. We can't wait to have you.
I was going through some pictures and found one of my mother standing out there at the fair eating a Belgian waffle. You know, my mom was like 5'9" and probably never was bigger than a size 6. So she was unusual, but she could go out there and have as much fun as anybody. And we always went to the horse barn. And I remember riding all the rides with my dad. But what I remember is my grandmother, who lived to be 90, was a member of a church in Clintonville called Maynard Avenue, and they had a food venue there.
Still do.
Where you could sit down. Right. They have a big pole and a sign. You can see it from a mile away.
Maynard Avenue United Methodist Church. They have
exactly.
a 24-hour food stand that's operated by volunteers, and they've been there for years.
At least. I mean, the church itself, I think, celebrated its 100th birthday last year. And I'm not a member there, but I go there occasionally. They're really nice people. And it brings back the memories of my little grandma, Ethel, working out there at the fair. So I would encourage everybody to try to find it. I think Ted Strickland, being a Methodist minister, ought to go by and say hello.
Okay. You know, I know that he's had breakfast there before.
Well, he should go back.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your memories, Nancy, and hopefully you'll go out to the fair again. Thank you. So you've had a lot of vendors who have just been around for a long time. Schmitz of German Village, I read, has been a vendor at the Ohio State Fair for 96 years.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of longtime vendors. We have just over 175 food vendors at the Ohio State Fair. In addition to that, we have about 400 commercial vendors. So lots of different food options, lots of different commercial product options. But within those 175 food items, you can really find, you know, your traditional fair favorites with anything deep fried and on a stick. We also have Ohio food products and the Taste of Ohio Cafe, which features Ohio's agricultural commodities. Lots of different food options at the fair.
Let's go to Natalie. Natalie, what is your favorite thing to eat at the fair?
My favorite fair food would definitely have to be fried pickles.
Yes, okay. I will agree with you there, fried pickles. Christopher, what's your favorite?
That's a tough one, but I remember getting there early mornings, and there's a little shop that has the little donut holes. And we'd always get them fresh, and those are really – it was just a tradition that we did every year, and I really like those.
All right, so we have two fried things. Christina, what's your favorite fair food?
You know, I really like just a traditional fair corn dog, one of those things that just doesn't taste the same if you get it anywhere else except for the fair. So
two fried things and something fried on a stick.
Yeah.
So we got both going on there. So 175 food vendors. I'm sure people go –
to see exhibits and then go get food, and then and there's rides. Let's talk about something. You have a few new features at the fair this year, and two of them involve going green. You have an energy-efficient adobe building. Can you tell me about that?
You know, it actually started at last year's fair, so fairgoers get to see a little bit of it in the beginning, and it's going to be completed at this year's fair. It is a building that's made entirely of clay and dirt. It's compressed into blocks, but it looks just like a house that everybody else lives in. So amazing. Everything that's used in it is recyclable or biodegradable, reusable. So it'll feature, it'll be open and available for guests to walk through during the Ohio State Fair. And it's actually a permanent structure that'll be there throughout the year.
And you have another green power alternative demonstrator.
That's right. That's a that's a solar and wind energy unit that'll be on display to show you just alternate uses of energy. In addition to that, something that we did a couple years ago, we have the Taste of Ohio Cafe, which uses all recyclable and biodegradable products, silverware, everything that's in there. And we also have recycling containers throughout the ground. In addition to that, we have a food recycling program where our year-round vendor produces all the leftover food waste, and it goes into a food recycling program. Lots of the deep fried oil that you see there, that goes in, that's recycled. So lots of different options for recycling at the Ohio State Fair.
So going green at the fair, and earlier we talked about going high tech at the fair. So everything's new.
You know, that's one of the, we showcase and we try to feature lots of educational opportunities, whether it's technology, green initiatives, agricultural. That's one of the focuses of what we're trying to do.
And we have an email. Well, I thought we had an email. Okay, we have an email from Mary Lou. She says, I was in 4-H and loved my experience with the organization and loved my local fair. I am fearful that the state's budget issues are going to kill 4-H in the state of Ohio. I've read that local county extension offices are being cut a little. And what, if anything, have your guests heard about the money side of 4-H? I don't know if Natalie or Christopher, if you know anything about cutbacks with 4-H programs.
I do know I have heard some throughout my years, but I'm not too up on a lot of it. But I know that has been an issue. Some of our counties have had to shut down recently, but I know it's an issue, and I really hope that we can pull it back together, because 4-H is just a great organization for kids to get involved in so they can be prepared for the future.
And Christopher, what do you think of possible money cutbacks?
I think that's just awful. The 4-H, just not being able to have the 4-H aspect of a fair is just, it's not a true fair then. To me, I think it's just something that needs to be kept going in all counties, because it's such an important part of the fair. And I think it's just, it would be very disappointing if fairs cannot afford to have that aspect anymore.
Well, obviously, your programs that you've been involved with are going strong. So is 4-H county-based? Is it Madison County 4-H, or is that a high school? I'm not understanding where it is based from.
Yes, the 4-H is more county-based, whereas the FFA organization is more school-based.
Okay. Christina, have you heard anything of, in recent years, has the state fair seen a decline?
We're very aware that, you know, there are certain counties that are having problems with funding for extension services. We closely monitor that. It's not only important to the fair for as far as participation, but as far as and being important to the state, because, you know, those programs produce great leaders. I think we have two really good spokespeople for those programs right here today. So it's certainly important not only for the fair, but for the future of Ohio.
I could see that people who live in cities, you know, if you live in Columbus or Cleveland or Cincinnati, you might not think of 4-H as being that big of a thing, because if you live in a city, you're not constantly thinking of farming or anything like that. Do you find that at the fair, that there's a city folk asking you questions?
Yes, I do find that a lot, that, you know, the city people sometimes, you know, they do try to just, their interest in the agricultural part of it, and I think that's really great.
What is your thoughts on 4-H now?
I do live in the city.
Yeah, that's true. You're from Hilliard, right?
Yes,
I forgot to mention that. Okay.
So
you're a city girl.
Yeah, a lot of my friends always say, oh, what kind of animals do you take? You know, that's an assumption. But I always try to get out, you know, the word that 4-H is not all about animals. It's about the promotion. But there are a lot of city people, especially with the Franklin County Fair being held in Hilliard. It's a very city atmosphere, not a lot of country or agriculture. So we do see a lot of people asking a lot of questions to our youth, trying to figure out what 4-H is. And we're always working to promote and try and get new members during the fair, especially.
I think Natalie hit on it there. You know, the fair is certainly, we feature all of our agricultural opportunities. But in addition to that, we have lots of other great programs such as technology education, which is represented on the Junior Fair Board. You know, and they focus on a lot of the technology that developing the future electricity, promotion of alternative energy. So they have a lot of great things going on there, in addition to your Girl Scouts and your Boy Scouts that have all different initiatives, too.
And we have a call from Karen, and Karen has a question for Christopher. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, Christopher. I heard you talking about showmanship and skillathon, and I was interested in finding out what is that all about, what do you do, and what does that entail? And also, one of the things at the State Fair that I think everyone really enjoys seeing is that great big boar that's always there in the swine barn. And since you've had hogs for so many years and your family's been in hogs, have you ever had a great big boar like that?
Well, that's a very good question. The skillathon is more of a it focuses on what you really know about the pig. It's the breeding selection, body parts, skeleton, just learning all that kind of different stuff. The showmanship is more of just showing your pig. The judge, you know, has to decide, you know, how well you can present your pig and present yourself, really. And with the big boar, it is a big attraction in the swine barn. And we have actually 3 years we've had the Buckeye big boar, and people get very interested about that and really enjoy seeing that big boar.
How big is this big boar?
Ours was 1,300 pounds, so.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Well, Karen, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We do have an email from a listener. I remember as a kid sitting in a pavilion with my grandmother, resting while she watched a live broadcast of the 50-50 Club with Ruth Lyons and Nick Clooney. And I don't remember it being this hot, though. He has great memories of the fair. So you hear a lot of stories about history like that. And
we do. We have tons of people that are that have great memories and history of the Ohio State Fair. We hear these stories all the time. You know, when we were in the reception area, the receptionist was even talking about how she worked at the fair and her mom worked at the fair. There are so many people with great memories about the fair. And with a tradition of 157 years, you run into them everywhere you go.
And we have another caller, Joanne, and this was on my list to talk about, but we'll talk about it right now because you want to, Joanne. What's your question?
Hi, I wanted to make sure everybody knew about the fair choir, the youth choir. They have 100 performances, and they're just the most beautiful singing group that you would ever want to hear. 200 young people singing beautiful songs.
We completely agree with you. We love the All Ohio State Fair Band and Youth Choir, one of the highlights of the Ohio State Fair. Each group is comprised of 200 members from across the state, so we have 400 youth involved in that every year, and they can be seen at performances throughout the day through the 12-day run of the fair.
Yes, yes, and they'll be at the Celeste Center that Sunday also. It's a free show inside the Celeste Center, too.
Sunday, August 1st at 1 p.m., they have a free show in the Celeste Center, so a great opportunity to see them. In addition, they perform throughout the grounds, including in the daily parade at 4 p.m. every day.
Thank you so much. I wanted to make sure that got on.
Thank you, Joanne. So tell me about the choir and the band. They come and stay at the fair in the live on the campgrounds, right?
That's right. You know, we have lots of them actually coming into the grounds as we speak right now. They start practicing and rehearsing right now. The choir is directed by Chuck Snyder and the band by Don Santaemma. They've been doing that for several years now. Both of them have even a greater history at the Ohio State Fair, but an excellent representation of Ohio's youth in the music side of things.
And that's one of the things that you can do at the fair for free is see them, right?
Every day they have several performances throughout the fair. They're listed on the website at ohiostatefair.com. You can pick up a program guide at Kroger stores or AAA locations, and those have those. Or when you come into the grounds every day, you can have a daily map, and those will have all the performances listed there.
And when I say free, I meant for the price of admission.
That's right.
Then those are just happening. I didn't mean free. But there are other entertainment events, and you have to buy extra tickets for, right? right, to see certain concerts, right, like the big name concerts.
Sure. Some of the big name entertainment in the Celeste Center requires an additional ticket. If you purchase that before arriving at the fair, it includes fair admission. So we kick off on Wednesday with the Ohio Lottery, which is a free show. On the next night, we have Selena Gomez, and that is a paid show. You purchase that in advance. That includes your fair admission. So a great value concert ticket. But in addition to that, you can spend the entire day at the fair. In addition to Selena Gomez, we have Babyface, we have Heart, we have Jeremy Camp. We have lots of different performers throughout the 12-day run of the fair, including some food demonstrations by Sandra Lee with the Semi-Homemade Tour. So lots of stuff going on. Weezer, Devo, some great Ohio favorites.
Are there still tickets for some of those?
Still tickets for all the shows that I just listed, all of them that are there.
Okay, and we just have a few more minutes left. If you want to get your call in really quickly, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Since we're running out of time, Natalie, is there anything else about the fair that you want to tell me? Because you obviously care about the fair a lot if you've been doing it for so many years and you're on the board.
Yeah, I just want to tell everyone to come out to the Ohio State Fair. There's great entertainment, great food, a lot of family fun that can be had, especially back in natural resources. Just all around, there's some great exhibits to check out, so I hope to see everyone at the fair.
Besides the exhibit you are involved in, what's your favorite thing to go see?
I would have to say going through the commercial building. There's a lot of great...
Tell me what that is, commercial building.
There's
The Marketplace building.
Yeah, the Marketplace building. There's a whole bunch of vendors. They have different items you can buy, and there's a bulk candy store that is always a family tradition. We go and buy candy 3 or 4 times during the fair, and that's just always something I enjoy seeing.
Okay, and Christopher, tell me something else about the fair that you want to make sure to tell everyone.
I believe Natalie hit on a great point there with natural resources. With my county fair going on the same time as state fair, I don't get to walk around and look at a lot of stuff, but always have to make time for the natural resources. I think that's just a great great experience, and it's kind of different, but I believe it's amazing. It's just a great time to go through there and look at all the different animals and the flowers and everything that they have there.
And the pig and the goat that you are exhibiting this year, does it stay on the fairgrounds the whole time, or do you have to take it home with you or anything like that?
Well, the goats will just he'll be in there for one day and that's it. Mm-hmm. But the pigs they'll be in there for about 3 or 4 days. So
okay. And Christina, do you want to add something?
Sure. That's one of the, like you just said, there's actually animals coming in and out on a daily basis. So that's more of a reason to come and visit on multiple days.
Okay. And we're down to just James, if you can ask your question or tell your story in just a quick 30 seconds.
Oh, yes, I can. Mm-hmm. I just remember the fair. I have my own company now, but when I was in college attending Capital University, the fair was a means for me to earn income during the summer, and I sold the program. And really enjoyed it, and I just appreciate the fact that they continue to do that for young people. And it was something that was a good highlight. You made good money. You met a lot of people. It allowed you to engage with people and you'd be supportive of it. So it's always a positive experience, and that was about 40 years ago for me.
All right. Well, thank you very much, James.
Okay.
And on that note, there – the programs that we've been talking about, there's scholarships involved too, right?
There are. We provide lots of youth scholarships, and those are all awarded at the annual Sale of Champions, which is on the last day in the Celeste Center at 2 p.m. So we recognize not only the winners of the market projects, but scholarship winners, outstanding market exhibitors, skillathon, showmanship. Lots of youth recognized on that last day.
All right, and I still have 7 more bullet points that we didn't even get to. There's too much going on at the fair. So the 12-day event begins Wednesday, July 28th. Runs through August 8th. More information at
OhioStateFair.com.
Or you can get that link at WOSU.org/allsides. That's all the time we have for On All Sides Weekend today on WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks to Christina Leeds, Marketing Director for the Ohio State Fair. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to 4-H and Junior Fair Board Member Natalie Hall. Thank you. And also thank you to 4-H and FFA Member Christopher Knott. Thank you. And also thanks to Sal Pishonary at the controls. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked library, zoo, and science museum.
With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.